once again, Lord, we look to you. We pray that you'd open up your word for us this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'd teach us, you'd instruct us, you'd encourage us, Lord. As you send forth your word, Lord, we know that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish that which you send it out to do. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord. Be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning's Communion Sunday. You probably figured that out, didn't you? You guys are clever. You know, I don't always make a list when I go to the store, especially if I'm only getting a couple things. I guess I like walking around the store looking at everything until I find what it is I came for. And sometimes I find an open space, an empty space, where it's supposed to be. Then I'll just stand there and stare at it. Like that's going to do any good, right? I have a really good memory. It just doesn't last very long. I remember when I lived in Oregon, I lived there for about, 22 years, something like that. I went to the store one day on my way home from work. And then, you know, I only lived two blocks away, so it was very common, very, you know, walking back and forth. So I walked home, and I got home, and I looked, and I had an empty driveway. I'd forgotten my pickup. So I had to go back and get it. But that's okay. It gave me the opportunity to get something else in the store that I'd forgotten. What's that? No, two blocks. It wasn't very far. Actually, sometimes I'm easily distracted. The book of Deuteronomy, I call the book of Deuteronomy the book of remember. What it is, Deuteronomy is a restating of the law to a new generation. But there's a key theme that runs throughout the book. Over and over we hear it. Remember. 13 times we find remember. 9 times we find forget not, which means the same thing, right? Well, sort of. Me being who I am, I decide to look it up. See what they each meant. To remember means to mark so as to be recognized, to mention, be mindful of, recount, record, to think on. And also forget not. Forget means to be oblivious of, to mislay. As time goes by, the things we want to remember, the things that should be important to us, they fade. They lose importance. Maybe they get clouded over, lost in the fog. Jesus talked about the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in things. And everything gets kind of pushed away. There's a word that comes into our vocabulary or our actions. The word is rote. R-O-T-E. It means mechanical. Routine. In fact, I was wondering if maybe the word routine might even come from the word rote. I don't know. Sounds like it's possible. What's the remedy for it? There's an important word in the Bible. You see many times, good and bad. The word is practice. There are those that practice iniquity. There are those that practice righteousness. Practice. Practice makes perfect. The more we practice, the better we are at something. We need to practice remembering. We need to keep it in our mind. If it's kept in our mind, if it's not kept in our mind, it won't be kept in our hearts. And if it's not kept in our heart, it won't be kept in our actions. Deuteronomy 5:15, I have a study note in my Bible. It says, to remember carries the sense of deep reflection and meditation on the past, particularly with regard to God's mighty acts of love and grace. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt. God had done some amazing things for them. He could say to them, in fact, in many ways he did. He didn't use these exact words, but he could say, remember where you came from. Remember how I delivered you, how I saved you, how I protected you, how I provided for you, how I met your every need. That could have been said to the children of Israel. But that also can be said to us too, can't it? Because it's true for each one of us. How could they forget the angel of death passing over them? How could they forget the parting of the Red Sea, the water out of the rock, the manna that came down from heaven? Their shoes not wearing out after 40 years. Anybody here have children? What's the one thing it seems like you have to buy for them every month or so, sometimes sooner than that? I just bought you those shoes. What do you mean you outgrew them already? And yet the children of Israel, that didn't happen to them. They didn't even outgrow their shoes. The shoes grew along with them. Their shoes didn't wear out. That'd be hard to remember, wouldn't it? Or hard to forget. But they did. All it took was a little time and a few giants. Life. And personally, how could I forget the motel room in Sacramento? Where 35 years ago, God delivered me from alcohol. He delivered me from myself, from the life that I was living. You know, we swear we're not going to forget things like that, but something happens. We don't forget it, but it kind of gets pushed aside or gets pushed back, and other things take the forefront. The children of Israel, the second generation, was probably the best generation of the Jews. They were obedient. They were faithful. You see this in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a book of victory. It's a book of victory because it's a book of remembering. It's a book of obedience. It's interesting because the book after that is the book of Judges, and that's just a few generations later they'd forgotten. And it's a book of defeat. Constantly being oppressed by their neighbors. Constantly being invaded. But they lost sight of God. Their memory. They lost their memory. If you read the book of Judges, you can find some places in there where it's very, very dark. This do in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus said. Why do we remember? We remember to keep it fresh. We also remember to honor Him. To honor His memory. Do we forget Him? It may become blurred. But we're supposed to remember. Remember what He went through, how He suffered. Anybody here see the movie The Passion? Most of us have. That was very, very graphic, and yet that probably didn't even really go as far as it should have or it could have. Isaiah 52:14 says, His visage was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. You couldn't even recognize Him as being a man, as being human. That's how bad they beat Him. Can you imagine what would happen if the devil had the opportunity to beat up on the Son of God? That's what happened. And why did He do that? Why did He allow that? He could have called down 12 legions of angels. He didn't have to endure the cross. He could have said, no, I've enjoyed about as much of this as I could stand. And He could have been off that cross anytime He wanted to. But He did it for the joy set before Him, because that joy that set before Him was us. The love that He has for us. This do in remembrance of me. It's important to keep in mind it doesn't say do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't say do this because we remember. It says do this in order to remember. This do in remembrance of me. Does this replace the Passover? Because that's what they were observing that night. Do we do this instead of the Passover? Actually, the Passover was always a memorial of Jesus Christ and of what His sacrifice was going to be. Where we look back to it, to what He did, they looked forward to it. The Lamb that was perfect in every way. The Lamb that was completely innocent. The Lamb that was slain. This do in remembrance of me. It is said twice. Once for the bread and once for the cup. There's two elements involved. The bread and the wine. There was two elements involved in His crucifixion. His body, which is physical. His blood, His life force, which is internal. So we can think of it as being spiritual, can't we? His flesh and blood. The whole person. He gave all of Himself to us. Now the question is, or the question has been asked, is this a sacrament or is it an ordinance? He said, this do. It's ordained. It's ordered. It's a commandment. A sacrament, on the other hand, is a specific means, this is a quote, a specific means of obtaining grace. Do we obtain grace by doing this? We're supposed to already be believers, aren't we? We're supposed to already have had that grace extended to us. Is there a grace for the unbeliever in partaking of communion? Not necessarily. Is there more grace to be had for the believer in partaking of communion? Do we get saved each time we do this? Or is grace a product of belief? That's what it is, isn't it? We don't get saved by anything we do. We get saved by what He did. And that's what we observe. Is this a picture or an image? Or is it a reality? The elements pictured his body and blood, they do not become his body and his blood. He said of the bread, "This is my body." He said of the wine, "This is my blood." But he's standing there with them when he said it. So how could it become him if he's standing there talking to them, sharing this with them? Since he's already standing there when he said this, it's symbolic. It's something to be remembered. Is it a celebration or a ceremony? Ceremonies are kind of formal, aren't they? It's a celebration of his death on the cross for us. It's to remember. Is it a routine or an experience? We have to be mindful of what this represents. It has to be fresh each time. It has to have the same meaning to us each time. Is it an observance or an examination? Is it just something we do, or is it an opportunity for self-examination where we can take a close look at what we're doing and how we're living? Maybe the things that aren't pleasing to God might come to mind. Is it an opportunity to ask ourselves if we're right with the Lord? You know, churches, instead of saying you're welcome to participate, maybe they should be asking, are you welcome to participate? Because that's what we're supposed to ask ourselves. We have an opportunity. Every time we do this, we have an opportunity to correct the situation or the problems we might have. There might be reasons why we're unworthy to partake, but yet we have the opportunity. As this is being passed out, we're going to have the opportunity to examine ourselves. And God is sitting there, or standing there, waiting for us to talk to Him to rectify that situation. In John 13, Jesus washed his disciples' feet before they partook of this. He said, "You've been cleansed, but every once in a while you need to have your feet washed." I used to work on a llama farm, so I can kind of identify with Moses, and I know what may have been going on in everybody's, in their mind when God said, "Take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground." Because if you're following along after animals, you might step in something. We used to get invited into where the llama farm I worked at. We used to get invited in for lunch. Actually, it was a dinner, the main meal of the day. But we had to take our shoes off before we went in the house. Because we've been walking, we've been stepping in stuff. We do that all the time, don't we? We walk in the world, we step in stuff. We need to have our feet washed. This is an opportunity to do it. Jesus wants to wash your feet right now. Oh, we do this too often, some might say. We do it once a month to help us remember. But only once a month, because we don't want it to become routine, mechanical, rote. Our opening scripture was John 6, 53 through 58. Verse 56, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Dwelleth in. Dwells in me. Abides in me. Remains in me. They all mean the same thing. Alfred Edersheim refers to this as inner communion. It's not surface. It's not outward. It's deep inside. Inner communion. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Inner communion. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I'm going to ask Bob and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. I want everybody to bow their head. And while these are being passed out, okay. Two bobs in. Go ahead and start passing them out. And while they're being passed out, just bow your head. And if there's anything in your life, anything that you think that God has a problem with, talk to him about it. Ask his forgiveness. Ask him to make it right. Go ahead. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, it isn't to disqualify anybody. It's to qualify everybody. Thank you, Lord.
Bill Gidding.
Was everybody served? Did we miss everybody? Did we miss anybody? We don't normally miss everybody, but sometimes we miss somebody. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord, that it represents your body, which you freely gave, you offered on that altar, on that cross, for us. We pray for your blessing on it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed for us, the blood that cleanses us from our sins. The blood, the power of the blood that you freely offered for us. You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your message. We thank you, Lord, that you offer a way. A way of salvation. Lord, we thank you for the price that you paid for us. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for each one of us. Lord, I pray for your presence. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us. Guide us and direct us, Lord. And Lord, help us to remember, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming this morning.